This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, I'll be speaking to Farhan Omar and Ikram Faiz, the founders of a local batik menswear label, Captain Batik.
Our artisan, especially in Terengganu and Kelantan, most of them are closing their shop because they don't have any order. So what we do is we try to revive them. We try to partnership with them to create our own design.
After that, Othniel Singh shares with us his thoughts on this week's trend, the collaboration of Stone Island and Supreme.
They like to wear clothes that look like they are ready for hiking the mountain or going fishing. And it's very capable for doing those activities, and yet you look super fly.
But first up, here's our fashion headlines of the week. Italian fashion label Roberto Cavalli has called it quits for their struggling US stores, closing all outlets, including 7 full-line stores and a handful of off-price outlets. The company has temporarily halted e-commerce operations while they reroute the logistics through their European operation and have terminated the company's 93 US employees without notice. The fashion label, which operates under Art Fashion Corp, has been operating under a loss for the last 5 years, with an estimated loss of $17.8 million in 2018. Multiple executives like US CEO Salvatore Tramuto, creative director Paul Sarich, and multiple corporate executives have also resigned from the company. This marks the end of an era for the turbulent Italian fashion house that was famously known for the glamorous larger-than-life outfits and bold animal prints. And moving on to the next story, vegans rejoice! H&M have just announced their new Conscious exclusive collection featuring pieces made from pineapple leather, tree pulp and orange silk that will be used on a variety of products like vegan leather jackets, boots, bags and dresses. The company will also use recycled polyester, sequins, glass, metal and plastic for their clothes and accessories to meet their goal to only use recycled and sustainable materials for all their products by the year 2030. This comes at a crucial time where the fashion industry is currently ranked the 3rd highest polluter in the world, right behind the oil industry. The pineapple leather used in the collection comes from Pinatex, a company founded by Dr. Cameron Hijosa. After an extensive research on the leather industry that took place in the Philippines, she was inspired by the Barong Tagalog, a traditional outfit made of pineapple fibers. It took 7 years for her to develop the final version of Pinatex, using pineapple leaves that are residual waste left over after the pineapple harvest, contributing to the product's low environmental footprint and high social impact. That wraps up this week's fashion headlines. And now it's time for our style maker of the week, the boys behind Captain Batik, Farhan Omar and Ikram Faiz. Launched back in 2017, Captain Batik was founded to promote and utilize the traditional wax-resist dyeing technique, known as batik, as the core of the brand. With the aim of developing sustainable artisanal crafts, the brand brings a more tailored approach to batik and menswear, mixing in modern and contemporary motifs in their designs that can be worn on a daily basis, no matter the occasion. In the studio with me, I have the founders of Captain Batik, Farhan Omar and Ikram Faiz. Now, before we get into batik, you guys were both engineers, right?
Yes.
At what stage, you know, that you think that it's time to move on to the next industry, that you got fed up of engineering?
Actually, before we start for this Captain Batik, both of us actually love fashion. So then we discuss and we talk about this. Why not we create our own brand so more people can wear?
But why batik?
Okay, we see that batik in Malaysia, especially for men, is very loose because youngsters don't want to wear batik because very loose. You can see yourself what our people wearing the batik. Mm-hmm. But we have been travel a lot to, especially in Indonesia. So we see that their batik is quite lovely. A lot of youngsters wear the batik. So why not promoting our batik as well as others ethnic fashion, ethnic fabrics, and making into the nice cutting with fine detailing, so youngsters will take a look at it and wear it as a daily wear.
I know that your brand Captain Batik has a goal of preserving, you know, and nurturing the heritage of batik. Would you consider batik as a dying art form?
Yeah, we see that batik is dying because we can see a lot of especially 40 years old and below doesn't wear the batik at all. Only some of them wear the batik when they have a special occasion, but not as a daily wear, casual wear. And then our artisan, especially in Terengganu and Kelantan, most of them are closing their shop because they don't have any order. So what we do is we try to revive them. We try to partnership with them to create our own design, and then we do our own blog and then make them produce for us. So we will take back to KL and continue with our fine detailing.
So you mean you're trying to help them to revive their business by ordering it from them, am I
right?
Yes. Now, I also read that, you know, you guys were the very first batik shirt brands in Robinsons.
Actually, when we started, we have a lot of artisan. We joined the artisan market as a booth to promote our own. But one of early days in Publica, we got an invitation from one of the buyer in Robinson. So they believe that our shirts are good for their market, good to promote the batik through their channel. So as long as we have our own production, we have a lot of stocks, so why not we try? So that's why we go, the first departmental store that we go is Robinson.
Actually, we are also available in Fashion Valley and also Isetan KLCC. And we are going to enter another two Isetan, Isetan Wan Utama and Isetan The Garden.
Now, what was the marketing strategy like, you know, in the early days of the brand?
Okay, at first, actually, we promote through artisan market. We join a lot of artisan market around Klang Valley. And also, we have our own website for that.
I've been speaking to Farhan Omar and Ikram Faiz of Captain Batik. Right after this, we'll find out more about their collections and their future plans for their company. Stay tuned. You're listening to Stylefile on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. I've been speaking to Farhan Omar and Ikram Faiz of Captain Batik. And we've been talking about how they got into the world of fashion. And now, we find out what inspired their collections. Now, could you take us through some of your collections?
Okay, at the early stage, we only have a Nusantara series. That means it's a printed batik. The design is inspired by Nusantara, which is mostly from the design are from Malaysia and Indonesia. We combine each and then we select all the colors that suit our needs, suit our Malaysian people, our youngsters. Mostly will the color something like pastel, bright. We combine everything to get the market to see how the market's going. And then from Nusantara series on the early stage, then we move into more artisanal batik. So we travel a lot to Terengganu and Kelantan to see the artisans that can follow what's our needs, how the designs will look like, and the skills and the techniques that they use to produce our own range of colors. Because I think that most of the normal batik are something like the colors are too old for our youngsters. That's why our industry is are dying. So we use a lot of technique to produce a Malaysian batik, and that series we call it as a masterpiece series. So we use our own blocks, we use our own range of colors, we try and experiment everything from A to Z, together with our artisan in Terengganu and Kelantan. So that goes for the masterpiece series. And the third one is Parahyangan series. Parahyangan means when we travel a lot in Indonesia, especially Cirebon in Central Java, Pekalongan, and also Solo and Yogyakarta. We go into their village, their own small village, and find the artisan, and then discussing everything and making our block, and also we use our range of colors that we think suitable for our market here.
The last one that we have, we call it Maharaja series. That one is special because it's not like the same batik like Malaysian batik and Indonesian batik. This one we call Maharaja because the fabric actually is from Jaipur, from India. Then we travel there just for our production. Actually, Maharaja series, the production actually is similar to the batik. And the production, they still use the handmade for the production. And some of them, they still use a natural color.
Now, I'm just very curious, what inspired the names for the collections that you have?
Okay, just like Parahyangan series is a Indonesian word. So we want to use a nice name for the series so people can remember it.
In terms of like, does it complement the designs as well with the names that you have?
It doesn't mean that the names are complement the design.
Just taruh je.
Yes. most of the words came from their own respective countries.
Yep.
But
I see.
We only find out that the name is nice, then we put into our series.
Now, you mentioned earlier about artisanal batik. Could you kind of explain a little bit about what exactly artisanal batik is?
Okay, when we talk about artisanal batik, that because what we do is we create the design using the AI and also the tracing paper. We are using a graduate from UITM.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we travel to if the design we think suitable for the masterpiece series. Then we travel to Terengganu and Kelantan to meet our artisan. And then from there, we ask them to create the block for us. After that, when the block's complete, then we try to play with the color, make a sample for that. If the color is perfect for our needs, then we continue. So it's not ready to make block that they have.
So it's custom made,
yes,
kind of blocks.
Also, the colors also, we don't use their normal colors. We try to ask them to mix to...
It's something like R&D before we produce the real batik.
Also, we have some only small amount of knowledge that we try to share with them because we travel a lot in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
So, if for the Kelantan, so we try to use our knowledge that we get from Indonesia and then put into the Kelantan or Terengganu people and for them to think what is our idea is, then they can try. Same with Indonesia, we try to share the knowledge that we get from Kelantan and Terengganu for them to produce same with the colours, everything.
You mentioned that the reason why you got into batik is because a lot of people think that the batiks nowadays worn by men are loose, they're not trendy enough, they're not modern enough, they're not slim fit. Because you mentioned there's older colours and young colours, you know. For youngsters nowadays, what kind of colours are you looking at? Because it's quite subjective when it comes to colours for batiks. I mean, looking at you, Akram, you know, you're wearing a dark black batik shirt with maroon motifs as well as it's kind of like looks like feathers and phoenix, you know.
Yes.
And for you, Farhan, you know, you're wearing a very neutral grey and white kind of batik designs. So how do you decide what colour or what kind of designs is for the older ones and for the younger ones?
Okay, actually we are not condemning the batik that have in Terengganu or in Kelantan. Actually, we try to improve everything. And what I'm wearing now is a Parahyangan series. It's a Indonesian handmade batik. And we did some research for the trending colour. It's not for the real batik. And we searched from Google that we know that for 2019, bright color will be trend.
So you follow trends as well in terms of colors, right?
Yes, yes.
So this year, the trend is, the color for this year is terracotta, actually.
Yes.
So would you say that you would have more of your batiks with terracotta colors, different kinds of palettes?
Yes, but we still balance the color.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just we focus only for the bright color. Yep.
When we think of men's batik shirts, right, the image of an oversized, ill-fitting shirt comes to mind, but, you know, yours come in a slim cut. What was the thought process behind that?
We go for the slim fit because most of the publics that we met, because we do the research, everything.
I think we are now lack of slim fit cutting for the current market in Malaysia. So we want to be a pioneer for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are your shirts produced locally then?
Yeah. Only the fabrics will be from the respective countries.
Mm-hmm.
But the designs and the colors come from us. We import the fabric from the respective countries.
Mm-hmm.
Depend on the series that we have. And all of our shirts are tailored locally.
Mm-hmm.
In our
hand-sewn locally.
Yes, yes.
I understand that your fabrics are sourced from different countries, right? As a relatively newcomer to the fashion industry, was it tough to get the right suppliers and business contacts while abroad?
Yes, it's very difficult because what we need doesn't reflect that what we get.
Mm.
So what we do is on one business trip, we try to meet a lot of suppliers, different suppliers, and ask them to make a sample that we think suitable for what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, when the result is ready and we discuss together with Ikram, I discuss with Ikram on which quality that we want and which supplier that meets all of our criteria. Because we are quite fussy with the design and the colours.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of the fabric, what kind of materials or fabrics do you guys use?
Cotton. And what we are using for the parayangan and also the Nusantara is we call it as Primissima cotton.
Mm-hmm.
So for the masterpiece, we also use cotton 50S. That means a very fine cotton that suitable for our humid country. For the Maharaja series, we use the cotton cambric 60.
Yep.
We have a lot of fabrics to play with, especially something like cotton slabs, linen. That's for sure will be out for our next collection.
Would you say that all the collections that you created, right, are they all done by you guys in terms of the batik prints, the blocks and all?
Okay, what we do is the design we do ourselves.
Self-print?
It's not a self-print. We only have...
we work on design.
Design.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what we do is we have partners from all the cities that I told you before.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we do is we ask our partner to create the design that we create before for us. That means the prints itself is not from us.
So you guys draw the prints and then you send it to them to create the block?
Yes.
And then you guys supply them the color, you tell them what color to put on it as well?
Yes.
I see. Then have you ever thought of setting up your own factory then to create blocks, doing your own printing instead of running to suppliers and all?
Wow, that one is very huge step. As for now, we still stick. It's much more easy for us if we just produce a design, because there's a lot of time actually we mm-hmm. need to commit on that. As for now, we want to just stay with
and focus. Right. Now, what's the decision making process like, you know, when choosing fabrics or patterns?
That's a very tough question because both of us have different preferences. So what we do is we select that meets our personal needs. So then at the end, we combine both design that we love. So it will be
balance.
Two different design.
But that's the best part of batik, right? If you have two different perceptions, when you mash it together, it's still a batik.
Yeah.
And how's the competition like, you know, when it comes to batik shirts for men?
At the early stage, we don't have a competition at all. most of the market that we enter, only we are the ones who have a batik. But at the mid of 2018, a lot of batik competitor comes when they...
In Malaysia?
Yeah. They import, especially for the printed one, they import direct from Indonesia and sell at the online store what they have. Most of them direct import from Indonesia and sell at the lower price without knowing any quality that a customer will buy. What we do is we still focus on what we have, on the premium quality of cotton that we have. So that's why we still here in the market. But now a lot of competitor that we have now.
So it's almost been 2 years since you guys first started, right? Are there any future plans, you know?
We will continue to produce more on the men's accessories, men's products.
With a batik element on it?
Yes, of course.
Like what?
Okay, we will have accessories, something like top sleeve, toiletries bag with touch of batik, and we are used combining our own block print canvas with the leather, something like that. We will play around with what we have, what the knowledge we have. Hopefully, it will be out soon on August.
All right. Since Raya is just around the corner, are there any special collection for Raya for you guys?
Yes. So we are about to launch our new Raya collection on 6 April and will be available first in our store in Publica. Then after that, only we'll distribute to other departmental store.
Yeah. Why Publica first?
Because actually Publica is our flagship, so it's the best for us if we can launch there.
Now, finally, where can our listeners get their hands on Captain Batik?
The flagship store in Publica. Any major departmental store like Isetan KLCC, Isetan Wan Utama, Isetan The Gardens, Robinson's The Gardens, also Robinson Four Seasons Kuala Lumpur, as well as Metro Jaya Mid Valley. And for the East Malaysia, we have in Metro Jaya Kota Kinabalu. And always we have a special in our website, www.captainbatik.com.my. And not to forget, we will have our Raya booth in Publica and also Bangsa Shopping Center.
That was Farhan Omar and Ikram Faiz of Captain Batik. Coming up next, Othniel Ting and I will be discussing this week's trend, Supreme's collaboration with Stone Island. Stay tuned. You're listening to Style File with me, Adeline Chung, right here on PFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File, and it's time for this week's Style Shrink. Othniel Ting gives us the lowdown on this week's menswear trend, the Stone Island and Supreme collab.
Karl Lagerfeld has a very famous quote where he says, "Trendy is the last stage before techy." Mm-hmm. Well, Supreme is a very trendy brand right now. So I think it's borderline techy, and yet they have successfully come up with items that are very desirable and make me want to spend money, but I won't do so.
But there are quite a number of products, you know, that Supreme has created, which, you know, made a lot of people queue up just for that product itself, right?
Well, to be fair, maybe those people are resellers. But
probably,
Supreme have just released their brand new collaboration with Stone Island. It's their fifth collaboration since 2014. Now, Stone Island is a huge technical outerwear company that has been a favorite for many rappers like Drake and, well, basically everybody that's into this new trend of outdoor technical wear, where they like to wear clothes that look like they are ready for hiking the mountain or going fishing. And it's very capable for doing those activities, and yet you look super fly.
So we'll say a jacket with lots and lots of pockets, right?
Yeah, maybe it goes well with the trend of boonie hats, vests, cargo pants.
And Steve Irwin kind.
And that's the theme for the collaboration this year. The tech wear textiles of Stone Island is very highly functional. And color scheme wise, this time around, they are going for a more dusty color treatment, giving the garments a more muted, weathered appearance, almost giving it a vibe that it's been made to be abused, basically.
But I mean, looking at the website, I see some of the jackets. They really do look like garbage bags in terms of the colors as well.
I mean, maybe there's some sort of thought process behind that specific kind of shine. Maybe it's for more visibility in the woods.
So would you buy a jacket that looks or that feel, you know, like a garbage bag?
Okay, I feel you about that particular garbage bag-ish design. Uh-huh. I probably wouldn't buy that. But there's another jacket, if you see in that collection, there's another one with this very subtle camo prints. Mm-hmm. They're very minimal with just the logo behind of Supreme and Stone Island. I think that one's pretty on point, and I think it's something that most hype beasters would go for. Do you like that one?
I love the color, but in terms of buying these kind of jackets, I don't think I would actually invest in it.
Yeah, unless you're a reseller that wants to earn money.
Yeah, probably.
Because it would definitely sell.
I'm not the kind of person who actually wears these kind of jackets, so I think it's going to be a waste of money for me.
But if you are, you're in luck because Supreme and Stone Island have matching colours for everything, top and bottom. So you can, if you bought that red jacket that looks like the one that you say looks like a bit like a rubbish bag, there's a matching pants for you.
So. Whoa, with the same kind of texture?
Same texture, same colour.
Yeah. Well,
why not, you know, go big or go home?
Yeah.
So it's a no for you lah.
No for me. Would you buy it?
I would buy it just to resell it. Maybe certain items like the boonie hat is a keeper because nowadays it's all about archive pieces as well. So they've been pulling out like this Ralph Simmons item is 15 years old and there's some sort of value to that as well. So I wouldn't be too surprised if a lot of people do that as well. Mm-hmm. I would if I have the means, but I wouldn't buy it to wear it on a daily.
That's all the time we have for you this episode. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can revisit this episode on our podcast by downloading it on our website, bfm.my, or on our free BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. You've been listening to Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.